But we say overcome. You know, there's a lot of statements in the Bible about overcoming. When we say overcome, what do we mean? What does that mean specifically? Well, the problem is there are several Greek words that are used for the word overcome, but so let's dispense with some of them quickly, because they don't have the impact of the main one, the most used one. For instance, there's a word that means to be weighted down, to be burdened down, pressed down. It's translated overcome, and it's used in the I cast my vote against them, Paul said. But here's in the book of Acts, there's another Greek word translated overcome. It means to be brought down, to be brought down in sleep. See, one is to be weighted down. I'm kind of overcome, weighted down with things. I'm overcome. The other one is to be weighted down or brought down in sleep. For instance, if you look in Acts chapter 20, verse 9, there's a statement here where Paul, I hope none of you ever do this and fall off, you know, when I'm speaking here. It says, Acts 20 and verse 9, a young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window. He was sitting next to the window. You know, you're sitting next to the window and you're getting sleepy. And he was sinking. This is the New English translation. So he was sinking, meaning he was falling down or being overcome with sleep. You ever see people overcome with sleep? He was falling into a deep sleep while Paul continued to speak. Now, that's not a very flattering thing for Paul. You know, you put people to sleep when you speak. And he's sitting next to a window. And so what does he do? He fell into a deep sleep and for a long time. And all of a sudden he was fast asleep. And he let down and fell from the third story. And he was picked up as dead. And Paul, of course, healed him. So here's one that means vanquished. You have been overcome. It's a Greek word that has to do with you're being overcome. It's not that you overcome anything. You're being overcome by something. You're vanquished. You're defeated. And that is in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 2, promising them freedom while they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by what a man is overcome. See, it's a passive word. It's not active. You're being overcome. What a man is overcome, by this he is enslaved. Let me read it in the New English translation. Although these false teachers promise such people freedom, they themselves are enslaved to immorality. For whatever a man succumbs to, he succumbs to it. He's being overwhelmed and overcome by it. To that he is enslaved. By the way, that same word, a second meaning means to be treated inferior, to be made to feel less important. That same Greek word that is used in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 is used by Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, where he says to the Corinthian church, and this is a sarcastic statement by Paul, and he's very sarcastic here. Ready? For in what way were you treated as inferior? And that's the Greek word. What way were you treated as inferior to the rest of the churches, except that I myself did not become a burden to you? Forgive me this wrong. That's a very sarcastic statement. Forgive. In other words, I didn't charge you. I didn't ask you to pay my expenses or anything. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 from the New English translation, for how were you treated worse? It means somehow you were treated badly. You think that you were treated worse. How were you treated worse than the other churches, except that I was not a burden to you? Forgive me this injustice. That's kind of a sarcastic statement. But the main word, the word that you need to have in your thoughts and what you're doing, is a word that means this. It means to conquer. To conquer, to take over the victory, to become victorious. It means to win in the face of obstacles. Things are coming at you. You're going to win. You're going to be the victor. You're going to conquer. You're going to overcome these obstacles. You're going to prevail. Another word, prevail, in the face of these obstacles. That Greek word is called nikao. Nikao. You are going to win. You're going to conquer. In the book of Luke, you'll see it, Luke chapter 11. I'm going to read a passage here beginning in verse 14. He was casting out demons. This is Luke 11 beginning in verse 14. He was casting out a demon. It was a mute. And when the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. So they make fun of Jesus, you know. Others, to test him, were demanding from him another miracle, a sign from heaven. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a house divided against itself falls. Cannot stand, it falls. If Satan, who is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub. And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? You know, it was typical in the time of Jesus that Jewish rabbis and Jewish itinerants who were speakers and so on would cast out demons themselves. If I do it by Beelzebub, then how do your sons cast them out? So they, your sons, will be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Now listen to this next. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his house, his possessions are undisturbed. Okay? You're a fully armed person. You're not going to let somebody come in and steal your stuff, right? But, verse 22, but when someone stronger than he attacks him, and, listen to the next phrase, nikao, there's the Greek word, overpowers him, he takes away from him all his armor on which he had relied and distributes his plunder. In other words, when someone stronger, more powerful, greater weaponry, and so on, comes and, for instance, right now in Iraq, the ISIS is going along. They're just overpowering the troops for the Iraqi government. But if we send airstrikes, we have more power. We strike them with airstrikes. We might weaken them. We will overpower them. That's the sense. That's what Jesus is meaning here. The person who can be the victor, conquer, and overcome and prevail in the face of obstacles. So that's the meaning of verse 22. When someone stronger attacks and overpowers the other. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, here's what we are told. This Greek word is used again, nikao. Do not, I'm going to read it from the Complete Jewish Bible. The Complete Jewish Bible translates Romans 12, verse 21. Like this, do not be conquered by evil, but conquer, I think King James says overcome, several translations, I think the New American Standard says overcome, but the Greek word gives you a much more powerful statement than just overcome. It means to conquer, to be the victor, to win the victory. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil. How are you going to conquer evil? Here's evil. What do? You as a Christian, you as an individual, how do you conquer evil? You conquer it with good. Our only chance of conquering evil is to do good. That's it. You can't conquer it with evil. You've got to conquer it by doing good. Now, this applies to your personal Christian life. It's not what nations should do. It's not what a nation who doesn't rely on God for anything, they're going to have to defend themselves. But you personally have to conquer evil in your life, inside you, You can't stare here and say, oh, I shouldn't think bad thoughts, or I shouldn't do the bad thing, I shouldn't really do this. You've got to take an action, a positive action, in the right way to do the good. Not sit here and talk about how I don't want to do the bad. I should not do the bad. I must not do the bad. I got to stop doing the bad. You conquer it by doing good. The Christian Standard Bible reads it like this. Do not be conquered by evil, but conquer evil with good. Same kind of translation. Now, the same word, again, is used to mean it's a part of a legal action. If you went to court, now there are people who go to court. They sue somebody. They're being sued by somebody, or they sue someone. And what do you want to do when you go to court? You want to win. You want to prevail. You don't want to go to court and lose, right? You want to go and win. The Bible has this passage in the book of Romans, chapter 3. And Paul is talking about, what if some of them, he's talking about the Jews, what advantage has the Jew much in every way? To them were committed the oracles of God. But what if some of them were unfaithful? Does that make the faithfulness of God bad? No. So he says in verse 4, heaven forbid, God would be true even if everyone were a liar. You could take all the servants, every minister of God, every person who's, every rabbi, every person who's supposed to represent God, and if they're all liars, does that make God a liar? No. God is true if every person were a liar. As the Tanakh says, and I'm reading from the Complete Jewish Bible here, as the scripture says, so that you, God, and he's quoting now, so that you, God, may be, is it from the Psalms now, so that you, God, may be proved right in your words and win the verdict when you are put on trial and be justified when you, that's how other translations do it. Let me read it in the Christian Standard Bible. He says, absolutely not. God must be true even if everyone is a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and triumph when you judge. As the English Standard Version says, by no means. Let God be true though everyone were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But the Complete Jewish Bible captures it. When you are judged, meaning you're in a trial. I mean, you're in a courtroom, that you may win the verdict when you're put on trial. You want to win. And that's the same word. You're going to win in the face of obstacles. You're going to become a victor. You become victorious. Other translations use the word overcome or conquer. I mean, the same, that you may conquer when you're put on trial. You'll be conquered when you judge, and you overcome when you are judged. In the book of John, chapter 16, we read these words from Jesus. And this should be very encouraging to us. Jesus says in verse 33, John 16, verse 33, reading from the New American Standard Version, these things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you're going to have troubles. There's tribulation in the world. But take courage. You're going to go out here and there's going to be troubles. You're going to have this problem and that problem and this problem, and some things are going to come at you. I just talked to one of my clients yesterday. I think I had mentioned to you as an audience that I had this book called Three Felonies a Day, How the Feds Target the Innocent. You could be arrested so easily that it wouldn't even be funny. If I said to the Department of Justice, arrest this man, they would come to you about something. They'd say, let's say that you were going to testify about something that somebody else did. And they ask you a question. You say, well, I don't know. I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that. Then they go to someone over here and they say, you were involved in this. You know this guy, and we're coming after you unless you tell us that you told him about this. Now, they ask me, let's say I'm the target. They ask me, did you know this? And I say, no, I didn't know anything about this. They go to so-and-so and they say, you better testify that you told David Antion about this. So then they charge me with lying to federal prosecutors. Guess what that is? Felony. I lied to them. They charged me with lying. I say, I didn't lie to you. And he says he told you. I'm arrested. You go to jail. Now, you might win. You may not spend time in jail for it, but you're arrested. You're charged with it. You're charged with a felony. And it can be just like that. And they have done such things to political enemies, people they consider enemies. They go to, they find a way of asking your testimony. Or if you say, I don't know anything about it. No, I have nothing to say. I don't know anything. Obstruction of justice. You knew because so-and-so said, you're obstructing justice. You lied to a prosecutor. They could charge you with one, two, three things right away in your felonies. It's that easy. It's that powerful. Well, I was talking to one of my clients yesterday. And she went to a judge because she finally won her son over. She's now got custody, full custody of her son. The father just gave him up. But now the father's decided to want some portion, some little something in custody, part-time or something like that. So she went to court. The father couldn't be there because the father's wife couldn't, you know, she was late. She called in, I'm going to be late, I can't be there right now. And so and finally the judge said, okay, we're going to have to postpone this because she's not coming, I got something else. And afterward, the judge says to my client had her attorney there, it was, I'm going to make up a name. Is your client's name Mary Jo Jackson? Attorney says, yes. Looks at the client, who is an African American, says, is your name Mary Jo Jackson? She said, yes. The judge says, you're under arrest for a felony, for assault. We have a bench warrant out for you, and the warrant has been up. My client said, what do you mean? You're under arrest. Right there, here comes the sheriff with the handcuffs. Handcuffs her, starts it, they start to, the attorney says, Your Honor, what is it? She says, she's under arrest. They didn't read her Miranda rights. They didn't do anything. They take her down. They start fingerprinting her, booking her, taking her picture. She was there 8 hours before she was released. You know how they finally released her? They found a picture of another Mary Jo Jackson who was a felon. The bench warrant had been out. And the picture of Mary Jo Jackson, the felon, was a white woman. And she arrested this African-American woman, and my client was taken to jail. I said, boy, you may get rich over this, but because you've got false arrest. It's that easy to get in jail. So it's not difficult, brethren. Here she was. Now she's released. I said, see the Johnny Cochran Law Firm. I'd worked with them before myself on another case. But I said, go to see Johnny Cochran Law Firm. They love to sue Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And so this is absolutely inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. Incompetence reigns wild in these things. And these people got all this power over us. So here's Jesus. You're going to have tribulation in the world. Yes, you will. But listen to this. Jesus said, but take courage. I have conquered. I have prevailed. I have beaten. I have won the world. I've overcome the world. And in John chapter 16, verse 30, I think it's John 16, verse 33, in the New English translation, this is how it reads. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you have trouble and suffering. But take courage. I have conquered. I have been victorious over, in other words, the world. I have conquered it. We can take courage. Jesus Christ himself conquered it. Are we going to conquer it? Can we conquer it? Have you conquered it? You have. You've conquered the evil one. You have. You actually have. I'm going to read it to you right here. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. You have already conquered. This is a New English translation. 1 John chapter 2 verse 13. I am writing to you, fathers, that you have known him who has been from the beginning. I am writing to you, young people, that you have conquered the evil one. I have written to you, children, that you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, that you have known him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young people, that you are strong and the word of God resides in you, and that you have conquered the evil one. That's all the way to verse 14. Now let me read verse 14. 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. That says, I read verses 13 and 14. Now I'm going to read just verse 14. I have written to you, fathers. This is from the New American Standard Version. I have written to you, fathers, because you know him who has been from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. What's that mean? The word of God lives in you. The word of God, the living word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. You have beat Satan. You have overcome the evil one. Now, how did we do that? Well, we're going to talk about that. You have overcome the evil one. We'll show you here. 1 John chapter 4 now. Let's drop down to the next chapter, a couple chapters forward. And you'll see this same word, how John uses this word over and over. Nikao is the Greek word. It means to prevail, to win the victory. Here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God By this you know the Spirit of God. Verse 2. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. You are from God, little children, and have, listen to this phrase, you, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Because, why have we overcome them? Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. He who is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's from the New American Standard Version, 1 John 4, verses 2 through 6. Now, the next chapter over, 1 John, once again, 5 now, beginning in verse 4. For whatever is born of God, listen to this phrase, overcomes the world. Whatever is born or begotten, and the Greek word can mean either begotten of God or born of God. Whatever is begotten of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Listen to it. Our faith. What do you think is going to do it? First of all, we're going to do good, right? That overcomes evil in us. What overcomes the world? Our faith. Last week I talked about the great men of faith, the great women of faith, who were sawn asunder got plundered, were put in prison, got beaten, thrown into lions' dens and threatened with fire and every other thing. And what saved, what stood by them? Even some of them were killed, but their faith, in the face of their faith. And here's the classic statement. If you want to remember the classic statement, here was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember those the three guys? Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael in the Hebrew. But here they were standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar. And they're standing in front of Nebuchadnezzar, and Nebuchadnezzar says, if you don't bow down to this image that I've made up, I'm going to throw you in this furnace. You see this furnace? You're going in it. And who's the God that can save you from that? And they said, King, O King, our God can save us. Now, he didn't say our God will save us. He said, our God can save us. But if not, O King, know this, that we're not going to bow down to your image. Our God can save us, stop us from going to this fire and everything. But if he doesn't save us, we're still not going to bow down. That's called faith. That faith goes beyond your life. It pushes beyond your life and overcomes them. They can't win with that. When you have that kind of faith, they cannot win. You will be the victor. And these people were the victors. Now they were thrown in. Remember, all right, throw them in there. Let's see. And all of a sudden, how many people do we throw in there? Well, there were three of them. Well, I see four people walking around in there. And one of them looks like the son of, son of God or something. He's just son of man. And all of a sudden, he says, come on out. Well, only three of them came out. God's angel was there to protect them. And they came out and they didn't even have the smell of fire on their clothing. Their faith. God can protect us, but even if he doesn't, we're not bowing down to you. We're going to do good. We're not going to do it. So here's now 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, Jesus himself conquered the world. He did. He conquered. And here's what we read in the book of Revelation. Listen to this. Revelation 5. They show John this picture. Here's this beautiful picture, of the person sitting on the throne. Has this big volume, this book, this scroll. And here comes the one. Who's going to do it? And it says here, and one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Because he said, nobody's going to be able to open this scroll. This important scroll. Stop weeping. The lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome. He has gotten the victory so as to open the book and its seven seals. He's going to do the lion who has won the victory. Now, in the book of Revelation, we're told this to the churches, to you, to me, and the churches. It goes like this, Revelation 3:21. And he who overcomes, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, it says, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. You use the word overcame. Let me read that in the Christian Standard Bible. It gives you a better sense. Verse 21, the victor, I will give him the right to sit with me on my throne. Just as I also won the victory and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever is the winner is going to sit with me. What's the prize to the winner? You have to be a winner. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, again from the English Standard Version, he who conquers, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also conquered. I won in the face of obstacles. I conquered, and therefore I sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, The Bible has this statement. It's kind of disturbing in one sense, because here we are. Remember, we have overcome the evil one. You remember, God, we just read that. You have overcome the evil one. How did you overcome this? By your faith. How do we do this? By your faith. But listen to this statement, which is sort of disturbing. This is the two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. When they, I'm really going to read it from several translations here. When they had finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the out of the abyss will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. Let me read it in the New English translation. And when they have completed their testimony, the beast that comes out of the abyss will make war with them and conquer them and kill them. The New International Version reads it now, when they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them. Remember, Jesus said, you know, when you guard the house, if somebody stronger than you comes in, he overpowers you, takes your weapons away, and he plunders your house. So here are the two witnesses. The beast that is in this abyss will come back and will overpower them. Well, wait a second. I thought we were supposed to be the conquerors. They were conquered. They were overpowered and killed, the two witnesses. Now, in the book of Revelation, you'll see here in chapter 13, this happens to the saints as well. I'm going to read chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, how they worship the beast. They worship the dragon because he gave authority to the beast. This is Revelation 13, beginning in verse 4. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Now, this is the most powerful thing on earth. He's got so much power. Who can make war with him? Then there was given him a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. God let him have absolute total power and reign for 3.5 years. Nobody could touch him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle. That is, those who dwell in heaven. He just blasphemed, you know, God's place in heaven, talking against it. Listen to verse 7. It was also given to him to make war with the saints. What are we? We're the saints. Every Christian who is a dedicated, spirit-filled Christian who believes God, who believes the Bible, who has the Holy Spirit, is a saint. Every person. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to what? Overcome them. Conquer them. Prevail over them. He's going to conquer them. Well, I thought we conquered him. Do we conquer him or not? Yes, we do. Let's continue. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to prevail, to conquer them. And authority over every tribe, people, and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name is not written written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. Yes, he makes war with the saints, and he overcomes them. They die. They are conquered. They are put to death. In Revelation 11, that's like the two witnesses were put to death. Now let's drop to Revelation chapter 17. Here is the mind. I'm beginning in verse 9. Revelation 17, verse 9. Here is the mind who has wisdom. The seven heads and the seven mountains on which the woman sits. And they are the seven kings that have fallen. One is and has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast which was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven. And he goes to destruction. Here's how the beast goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom. They receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. That is symbolic. It's all symbolic language. These have one purpose. These Kings have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb. This is their undoing. And the Lamb will overcome them, defeat them, prevail, become the victor over them. Because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful. Are the called and the chosen and the faithful. The one mistake. Now, yeah, the beast can go against the saints. The beast will rise up and take over and win against the two witnesses eventually. They will be killed. And some of the saints will be. But he will make his biggest mistake when he goes against the Lamb. We will win. I'm going to quote Franklin Delano Roosevelt. With faith in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of the American people, we shall gain the inevitable victory, so help us God. You remember those phrases? Well, the saints will gain the inevitable victory, so help them God. In the book of Revelation chapter 12, here's what it says. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ, that is his anointed, have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. That's Satan the devil. He who accuses them before our God day and night. And verse 11. And they overcame him. They overpowered him. They became victorious over him. They prevailed against him. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Because of the word of their testimony. That's the word of God. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. They were willing to die for what they believed. And that takes them and makes them the victors. They will win. We will win. No matter what the powers in the world are, no matter how much the beast can prevail, no matter what things happen, we will win the inevitable victory. Why? Because God is on our side. Because they have the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they're not willing to back down even in the face of death. That's how we win. That's the faith. That's the love. And to win against evil in you, you must just do good. And evil will not have a chance to dominate you. You will not be overcome by evil. You will overcome it with good.